Thank you, Josh, and good morning once again to all of you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let's open our Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6, that passage which Wayne had read before us. And our message, the title of our message this morning is God's Commands to Children. Now, this is the part where we go to remind children of their role in the home. We have been in this journey together, studying the Word of God as far as our value of family. And we have gone from studying about marriage, and then about the roles of the husband and the wife. Then we studied about the fatherhood, the ministry of fatherhood. Next Sunday, we will study the ministry of motherhood. Today, we will study the roles, the commands of God to children. Now, I found this interesting map. I'm going to show to you in our PowerPoint. It's in the folder that's a shared folder. Yep. Okay. Thank you. And it's very interesting because this survey is pertains to the countries where obedience is considered important quality in children. So the map gives colors to these different countries that gives us on what percentage is it for that specific country which considers obedience as an important quality in the kids. And I don't know where you would guess Australia is on, but Australia, apparently according to this map, is on the 15 to 30%. That means on 100%, only 15 to 30% of us or in our culture, in our society, values obedience. I look at the Philippines. And it says 30 to 50%. But what's more interesting, though, is that other countries do not have data on them. Like, what's happened to other countries? But do you think this is the case here in Australia? Is that how you think we value obedience as an important quality in our kids? And if it is, because this survey was taken in 2010 to 2014, how is it now? How's the scenario now as far as children being obedient to their parents and their parents inculcating this very important quality in them? Well, the Word of God tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you teach us your word today. I pray, Lord, that if there's any sin in us pertaining to this passage, show it to us, Lord, and cleanse us from our sin. Empower us to confess and to repent. I pray, dear Lord, that your word will truly have its authority over us, for the glory of your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to share with us this morning three important truths from this passage and an Old Testament passage concerning the commands of God to children. The first point is simply God's pronouncement to children. And we go to verses 1 and 2 for this. God's pronouncement to children. There are two here. The first is obey your parents. Obey your parents. Now, the first word there in verse number 1 is children. And of course, there's a lot of talks about who are the children here. Who are the children here? The Greek word for children here is tekna. It's the general term for children or descendant, but not necessarily only of the younger age group, as we may think. Not only the kids that we set out to creche, or that kiddo there beside you, and you're thinking, oh, listen well, this is for you, okay? Well, this term, tekna, children, is a term for both young and old children. The context of the passage, though, seems to point to those non-adult children who still live in their parents' home. Although, of course, there are adult children who still live in their parents' house, and therefore, they're also to take heed of this command. So, dare we not be so quick to tell the kid there beside us, this is only for you. This actually applies to all of us who are children of our parents. And the pronouncement here to us this morning, the directive is for us children to obey our parents, your parents. And of course, I look at the word obey, that is a verb, which literally means to hear under, to listen attentively, or to heed or conform to our command or authority. In other words, dearly beloved, when the Lord, through the words of the Apostle Paul here, said that children obey your parents, the concept is this, that obedience to parents starts with a listening heart. Of course, ears first, physically, but I'm talking about the heart. You're listening, and you're listening intently to do what your parents are telling you to do. I want to emphasize here the word your as well. Because there are kids and there are people who are very adept in obeying other parents. They have second parents in the Philippine context. That's very common. I'm an adoptive son of many family in the church. And I love obeying them as well, whatever they would command me to do in the Lord. But the emphasis here is also in your parents. Children, obey your parents. It starts with listening. In fact, the book of Proverbs gives directions to children to listen. I think this has been a lost art. There's not much listening happening in the home, especially from the part of the children. I think the world has its way of deafening our children, taking away our children's attention to our words, so that their relationship in the home is non-existent and they are not so keen to listening to us. They're keen to listening to their friends, so their ears are working. It's not as if they have a lot of yellow thing there inside their ears that you need to take out or get rid of. No, their ears are working well. 100%. In fact, when the games are calling and the video, you know, on the TV screen is overwhelmed by your washing machine or your, they like, Mom, I can't hear it. So they can hear well. They can hear well. But from where they're listening and they're hearing, that's where the problem lies. But here the word of God that says, children, obey your parents. Listen to your parents. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs. And let's see here the value of listening. The emphasis of this book of wisdom to listening. Proverbs chapter 1. In the very first chapter of the book of Proverbs, here we are bombarded with the reality that listening is very important. It's commanded. Verse number 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. They're like pieces of jewelry which beautify your life. Now jump to Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. Again, the word hear appears. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention. So it's not just about listening ear. It's giving attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Same chapter, now verse 10 to 13. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now jump to Proverbs 5, just the next chapter, verse number 7. Therefore, concluding here, the writer here has a minor conclusion in this chapter. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 8, verse number 6. Listen, Here the writer uses the word listen. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. Now jump towards the end of the chapter, 33 to 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So the opposite here of listening is sinning. So that if you're not listening, you are not obeying, you're disobeying, and that brings shame. That brings death even to all those who hate me love death. They will bring death in their life. It's sadness and despair. Now, Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Listening is important. It's a foundation of a life that's a life of wisdom, especially in your latter days, in your aged days. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. If you've noticed, listening and being wise are in the same sentence or phrase almost in all of the verses here, which gives us the idea that when you listen well, you listen intently, and you obey, you become wise. And the opposite is true as what you have read. Disobeying, not listening, results to death. Children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. This submission is shown through acts of immediate and total obedience. We have just sung the song Obedience. Oh yes, Brother Wayne, it reminds me of a lot of wonderful memories when I was still a kid singing that song in our Awana, in our Sunday school, in our AFCs. But the command there about obedience is obey immediately. Obey immediately. I can also remember another song. I don't know if you're familiar with this. The song Obey Right Away. I think it's from Patch the Pirate. One of the stanzas says, listen to your father. This is wise advice. Never let your mother give an order twice. Follow their instructions quickly. Answer yes. Hearken right away. To delay is to disobey. And the chorus says, I will obey the first time I'm told. I will obey right away. Never asking why. Never with a sigh. I will obey right away. And the command of God here in Ephesians chapter 6 carries this idea. Obeying immediately, obeying right away. But not only obeying immediately, but obeying totally. Now for this, the Apostle Paul reiterates this same command in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 verse number 20. Where he says to the Colossian believers, and he tells us today, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well pleasing to the Lord. All things. Obeying totally. So we must obey immediately and obey totally. Now, the only exception, of course, is if our parents command us to do what is evil, what is wrong, or what is sinful. This is where the phrase in the Lord, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1, and in Colossians chapter 3 verse 20, you find there the words, it is well pleasing to the Lord, and in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1, in the Lord, for this is right. So the phrase in the Lord qualifies what we need to obey from our parents for our parental authority, from their parental authority. Children are to obey their parents in things which would not be in conflict with our duty to our God as our Lord, and it does not contradict the word of God. That word Lord, that name of God, Lord, is the word for master or supreme authority. In other words, where there comes a time where the Lord Jesus and your parents are in conflict because of the commands they're giving you, you know exactly who to obey. Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one who is our master, who has supreme authority above our parents. So if our parents command us to do evil, sinful, or unrighteous acts, which would displease our Lord, our master, our supreme authority, we have to choose God. We have to choose to obey God rather than men. Otherwise, children are to obey their parents, as what Colossians 3:20 says, in all things. And the Bible gives a simple answer to the question, why? Why do we need to obey? Well, the Word of God tells us there in verse number 1, Ephesians chapter 6, says, for this is right. Simple answer. So there's a lot of questions. Why do I need to? For it is right. It's right. So why is it right? Because God says so in His Word. God says so in His Word. Psalm 19 verse 8 does tell us the statutes. The word statutes there is a term that we use in congruence to the Word of God, synonymous to the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right. So when you follow the Word of God, it rejoices the heart. It gives joy. I believe that there's a lot of discontentment. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of displeasure. There's a lot of just a life that is going down the drain because of especially to the kids, because they don't find joy in obeying. And you know that if that's the case in the home, the relationship is strained. The home is in trouble, and there's no peace and joy in there. And it's not just the parents who are suffering. The kids, the children who are not obeying, will also suffer. We have read the effect of that from the book of Proverbs. So dearly beloved, why is it right to obey? Because the Bible says it is right, and because the God says so in His Word. The statutes of the Lord, the Word of God, reflect His character. He is right. He is correct. He is righteous. So God is the ultimate authority in your life, in my life. But while we are in our parents' home, God has made our parents the main authority in our lives here on earth. And therefore, this applies to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the first pronouncement of God to children. But the second, we see right away in verse number 2. Paul didn't dilly-dally here. After saying, obey your parents, he proceeds by saying, also honor your father and mother. Honor your parents. By the way, this is a quotation from Exodus 20 verse 12. From the Ten Commandments. And also Deuteronomy 5:16. These two passages talk about the Ten Commandments. Now the word honor here carries the idea of to prize. To fix a valuation or to revere. So honoring parents means to hold them in high regard. That means you give a high level of respect to your parents. You value them so much that however you relate to them encompasses the reality that your parents are precious to you. So how you talk to them, how you relate to them, how you live with them in their home, really always have a brush of a stroke of honoring them. And again, as I look into the culture today, it's so sad that children can honor other people, can honor other parents, can honor their friends, can honor their teachers, but they can't honor their parents. But it's a command here in the Word of God. Honor your father and your mother. And this is not just mere, as what one author says, emotion. this is not just only emotion, but of practical allegiance. Because of course, there will be times that you will not, in a feeling of obeying and honoring your parents. But it doesn't matter. The Word of God tells us here that there's no circumstance that you should not. Of course, again, on the qualification that you obey your parents in the Lord. But it's not dependent on your feelings. It's not dependent on if you're satisfied with your score in Minecraft or whatever you're playing. You need to obey, you need to honor your parents. Now, it is very interesting that Paul did not use the word parents in verse number 2. Have you noticed that? In verse number 1, he says, children, obey your parents. But in verse number 2, he says, honor your father and your mother. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul here is onto something. He wants to specify that you need to honor both. You can't pick and choose. It's not just a general term, okay, parents, well, maybe I can just honor my mom because she's really close to me and she cooks my meal. Dad doesn't really do anything. He just works. No. Paul mentions honoring father and honoring mother. When God first introduces what one author said, introduced his written law in the form of the Ten Commandments, the first law relating to human relationships was actually this. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Exodus chapter 20 verse 12. And that is the law Paul reiterates in this text. It is the only commandment of the ten that relates to the family. Because that one principle alone, when obeyed, is enough to secure the right relationship of children to their parents. Not only that, but it is the key principle behind all right human relationships in society. A person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. And that is true. In other words, when we have children who are obedient and they honor you when they grow up and they go and work somewhere and they go to a country somewhere, they will be such people, obedient, and people who would honor the authority of other people. Aside from the Philippines, Australia is the 13th country in the third continent I have been. Every country, culture, society I have been exposed to, even though they might not necessarily be Christian, recognizes and is founded on the concept that children are to obey their parents. It's very interesting. Very interesting. That it's almost encompassing as you go to different, of course, the map there says that some countries are stronger in that, some are weaker in that, but you still have that concept that children's role is to obey their parents, to honor their parents. But the question is, in our country today, are we losing this battle? Are we losing this battle that children are becoming less and less obedient, less and less honoring of their parents? And can we ask a second question? Is it because the parents are also not so keen and not so consistent in teaching this to their kids that you must obey your father, your mother, that you must honor your father and your mother? In the U.S., at least 8 million serious assaults are made each year by children on their parents. 8 million serious assaults. In recent years, a number of children have been convicted of murdering or hiring the killing of their parents. Wow. Usually, and you may ask, why? Have their parents done something grave? Usually, no. The statistics say, usually for no greater reason than resentment of parental control or discipline. Just that. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society that is chaotic and destructive. You know what's interesting? If you go to Romans chapter 1, we discussed this last time, but Romans chapter 1 tells us of a depraved mind and a society that will truly go down that road. But what's interesting to me is that the Apostle Paul here describes a society that has certain characteristics here. And if you go to verse number 28 to verse number 32, look at what one thing that you will notice in pertaining to our sermon this morning. I read, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." I highlighted it a bit if you missed it. One of the characteristics of a culture, of a society which has the debased mind, is that they have children who are disobedient to parents. That's why it's important that we take heed of this command of God in the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, in Colossians chapter 3, in the Ten Commandments, in Deuteronomy. Because, dearly beloved, the judgment of God to a culture like ours is there. And our children will become more disobedient unless we parents will teach them these very words. Are we on that stage now, Romans chapter 1, you think? As I reflect on that, it's so sad. I think we are. But before I leave this topic and move to the second point of our sermon, how do we honor our parents? How do we honor our parents? Well, a few suggestions here. There are more. You can add the list. But five S's here. Number one, supporting them financially. Now in Acts chapter 15, Jesus Christ here had a conversation. Acts chapter 15 with the Pharisees and the scribes. Verses 3 to 6. There was a question here of the Pharisees and the scribes. "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commands, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God to God.' Then he did not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites," Jesus Christ tells them. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying," and Jesus Christ gives a prophecy here. But the concept here is that the Pharisees and the scribes had a scheme here. A devious scheme wherein they use the command of God to not honor their mother and their father, so that people end up not supporting their parents. So dearly beloved, one of the ways to honor our parents is by supporting them financially, giving to them their need. The second way on how to support our parents is showing respect. Now let's go to Leviticus for this one. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 32. Leviticus 19, 32. And we'll highlight the second part of this verse. But the verse tells us, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." The last portion there says, honor the presence of an old man. Showing respect. Showing respect. Especially acknowledging their presence. There, even in the first part, rising before the gray-headed. And this is very common in Asia. Wherein when an elderly comes, we stand up in honor of them. Especially, of course, if there's no seat for them. You need to give your seat to them. And I've learned that even more when I went to different specific areas of Asia. But rising up is showing respect and even just acknowledging their presence. Acknowledging their presence. And number three, from that same verse, spending time with them. Because you honor presence, the presence of a man, of your old man, your father, your mother, when you spend time with them. When they come and they visit you, you're not like trying to brush them away already. Oh, mom, you're here. Why are you here? Like, what? You didn't, you know? No, you're supposed to find it precious that you are able to spend time with your mother, with your father. So supporting them financially, showing respect to them. And in this culture, you might have a different way on how you show respect. You must do that. And you spend time with them. That's also one way of honoring them. But number four, seeking for their pieces of advice. We already have gone through verses from the book of Proverbs. And I want to add this one from Proverbs 23. Verse number 22. Proverbs 23, verse number 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Never consider the pieces of advice of your parents when they're old. They're outdated, especially if the advices are based on the word of God. You show honor if you seek their advice. You listen to their advice and you obey their advice, especially if it is a commandment from the word of God. But also, in that same verse, do not despise your mother when she is old. This talks about stretching your patience with your mom and your dad, especially when they're old, especially when they're repeating sentences and they're forgetting things, especially when they're knocking at your door and asking, oh, is it today I'm supposed to visit you? Is it today I'm supposed to bring this food? Do not despise them. You have to stretch your patience, because you know what? Someday you'll be in that same position. But basically, God commands you to honor your parents. Dearly beloved, support them, show respect, spend time with them, seeking for their pieces of advice and stretching your patience. You can add more to the list, but that's how we can show honor to our parents. So this is, beloved, the pronouncements of God to children. Obey your parents and honor your parents. So the second point I want to share with us, going back to Ephesians chapter 6, is God's promise to children. To children who honor their parents. Okay, I want to add that phrase. To children who honor their parents. Look at the verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3 continues, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Again, a reflection of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Now, This commandment of honoring father and mother, the word of God tells us, is the first commandment there, mentioned in Exodus chapter 20, with promise. What is the promise to those who will honor their parents? Verse 3 says, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. It's like a coin that has two sides. The first side is that it may be well with you. This relates to the quality of life promised to the one who will honor their parents. The quality of life. Of course, this promise was given first to the Israelites. Exodus 20, verse number 12. Then secondly, of course, it's given to us here as Christians, as part of the church of Christ. Now, the usual perspective of it may be well with you is quickly often equated to material and financial blessings. Oh, you'll be rich. Oh, you'll have a big house that's worth $3 million. Or you're going to have three cars. Or you're going to be able to travel around. Although honoring parents may result to material and financial blessings, dearly beloved, it may. But we should not forget that there are more important blessings than just money. Think of a joyful and loving home when you honor your parents. The atmosphere there of peace and harmony. Think of a deep and God-honoring relationship with your mother and your father and your siblings that other families do not have. And they're only craving it from you. And they're looking at your family and saying, how can you have that relationship with your parents when I don't have it? I wish I have that. Think of the peace in your life when you sleep at night, because of course you know that you have a family that's harmoniously living together and enjoying the blessings of God in your life. Talk about the contentment and the God-fearing lifestyle that impacts others, whether you're in school, you're at work and community, just because you honor your parents. Dearly beloved, these are blessings which no money can buy. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us here that it may be well with you. Proverbs 6:23 has these words, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And the word life here pertains to the abundant life. If you want to have an abundant kind of life, a joyful kind of life, a fruitful kind of life, you must obey the command of God. Honor your father and mother. That's the first side of the coin, that it may be well with you. But the second side of the coin is this, that you may live long on the earth. So this phrase, that you may live long on the earth, relates to the quantity of life promised. The first is quality, the second is quantity. Parents generally want their children to live full lives. Of course, generally. That's why a God-fearing father and a God-fearing mother would do everything in their capacity by God's grace to invest in the lives of their children. They teach them, they guide them, they correct them, they love them, they invest in them. So if the children obey and honor their parents, they will be placed on the road away from the things that will harm them. Vices, bad influences, unrighteousness, and even untimely death due to wrong and unwise decisions. Dearly beloved, it is imperative that if children would grow up and live a life that glorifies God, that they first need to learn to obey and honor their parents. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses, I'll start with verse number 12. "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gained and fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. The clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." What the book here of Proverbs is telling us, if you honor your parents, if you obey your parents, your life will just be like that. Fruitful, full of wisdom. There is gain. There is understanding. You will have a life that's like more precious than rubies, and so on and so forth. You will have the quantity of life that God has promised. So that's the promise to children who honor their parents. But the last point, dearly beloved, I want to share with us. So not only the pronouncement or God's pronouncements to children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother, God's promise to children who honor their parents, but lastly, God's penalty to disobedient children. God's penalty to disobedient children. Let's go to the Old Testament passages here for this point. First is Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. verses 18 to 21. If a man is a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Another passage is Leviticus 20, verse number 9. Leviticus 20, verse number 9. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now, Exodus 21, verse 15. Exodus 21, verse 15. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now hold on to your seats. I'm not telling you, okay, parents, if your children are disobeying you, that you go out and stone them to death, okay? I'm not saying that. But let's study these passages quickly this morning. There are penalties to children from the Old Testament when they are being stubborn and rebellious to parents, death by stoning. Cursing mother or father, put to death. Striking father or mother, put to death. These are three passages that are clear about a literal set of actions that must be done if children are disobedient and rebellious and riotous. Now, let me just say this, that these kinds of passages that we see in the Bible are oftentimes preached with a lot of apologies. I'm sorry about this passage, you know, this passage really. Same with other passages that talks about homosexuality. Usually the preacher comes, "Oh, I'm sorry about it. Before I preach this, I have friends who are homosexuals, okay? I'm sorry about this passage." Or if we're talking about other things, adultery, "Oh, I have friends that are adulterers as well," or something like that. There are preachers who approach passages like this with a lot of apologies, as if we need to apologize for God's word. It's written there. Dearly beloved, I'm telling you right now, that's not how we approach those passages. We don't apologize for the word of God. It's written there. But we must, of course, interpret the word of God rightfully, so that we don't get or send out the wrong message to parents, and then, you know, organizations will be coming to our church next Sunday because a lot of our members stoned to death their kids. Okay? So why are these laws like these here that we have just read right there in the Bible? They seem so harsh and abusive, especially if it's viewed from our culture today. Well, there are a few important things to remember. First is, many of these laws protected people from overzealous punishment or other abuses by those who are hard-hearted. In the instance described here, especially in Deuteronomy, parents were empowered to bring a son who remained, the word here is remained, a stubborn, rebellious, gluttonous drunkard to the bar of justice, which consisted of the elders. And by the way, it says also here, mother and father. So it's not just a father doing that. It's just a mother doing that. It's a protection here, wherein both parents should be in agreement to this. And they go to the bar of justice, to the elders of the city of the gate. There, his case will be publicly tried. So there's a trial. And if he were found guilty, he would be executed by stoning, the same method of execution used for other capital crimes. So there's a blanket of protection for children who might just be abused. just really want to be executed by their parents with no apparent reason. No, there is due justice. There is a process here, and this is really concerning stubborn, rebellious, gluttonous drunkard who remain to be just like that, with chastisement, with correction from their parents. So that's the first thing we should understand. This is not just a random thing that any parent can just stone their children to death. But the second thing we must understand, why so severe a punishment? It is because these laws are based on theocracy, the rule of God based on His righteous character. He is Jehovah Makadishkem. In fact, that's the word, that's the name that is attached to one of the commandments there in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. Why will those children who are cursing father and mother be put to death? Because God says there in verse number 8 before verse number 9 says that I am the God who sanctifies you. I am a righteous God. In other words, God is not toying around with sin. And you think disobeying parents, cursing parents, or dishonoring parents is a simple, small sin? No, it's not. Before God, it's a tremendous sin. It's sin. It's sin that caused His Son to die on the cross. So for disobeying parents, it is a serious sin before God. God commands to honor parents, to obey parents. It is an attack to God's character because He is the God who commands this. In other words, disobedience to His commands undermines His authority and kingship. Not only to our individual lives, but even to the people of God, to their land. That's why the Word of God tells us here that you will get rid of the land from all of this sin. His people, He wants His people to be sanctified from that. Disobedience, you know, contradicts His sanctifying work in the lives of His people. Now, again, I'm not advocating that parents should stone your children to death, disobey or dishonor you, but here's the point. Fathers and mothers, one of our most important investments in the lives of our children is teaching them to obey and honor you. Because children who disobey and dishonor their parents, disobey and dishonor God. That is the point why we have those passages. And we should not be apologetic for that. We should not apologize for that. Because this commands outlines the righteous character of God. Dearly beloved, as I end this morning, Paul wrote to Timothy, and we'll study this, the second book that he wrote to him. And he warned Timothy about perilous times that will come. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-4, he said to Timothy, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers." And we stagger with this next item. Disobedient to parents. It's right there. With unthankfulness, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. The reality, dearly beloved, perilous times will come. And I think we are in it. I think we are in it. That disobedient children will be all over the place. Children, take heed. Children, take heed. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother. And parents, take heed as well. Teach these to your children. Teach this lovingly, consistently, constantly, until they learn that when they obey you, when they honor you, they obey and honor God. Father, thank you for your word. I ask that all of us here will take heed. Not just focusing on a certain age group, but Lord, me, Lord. And whatever age we may be, we have parents. For us who have parents who are alive, I pray that you teach us indeed on this specific stage of their lives on how we can still obey them and how we can still honor them. for the glory of your name, I pray this will be true to us and in every home. And I pray for homes this morning might be suffering from children who are disobedient, children who just dishonor their parents every single day. Oh Lord, will you show your mighty power and create change in that home? Maybe for parents to be more stern and more loving. Maybe for the children to take heed to your word, to be obedient, and to be honoring to their parents. Or both, O Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you send a revival in our homes, where fathers teach and lead and mothers support, and children obey and honor their parents. Send a revival now, O Lord. We need it. In Jesus' name, amen.